ॐ सहनावतु सहनौभुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावतीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. We'll chant verses 49-53, chapter 2, page 112. 49-53. Dure nahyavaram karma, dure nahyavaram karma, buddhi yoga dhananjaya, buddhi yoga dhananjaya. బుద్ధౌ శరణమన్విచ్చ బుద్ధౌ శరణమన్విచ్చ కృగణాపలహేతవః కృగణాపలహేతవః. దూరేన హ్యవరం కర్మ బుద్ధియోగాదనంజయ బుద్ధౌ శరణమన్విచ్చ కృగణాపలహేతవః. బుద్ధియుక్తో జహాతీహ బుద్ధియుక్తో జహాతీహ ఉభే సుకృత దుష్కృతే ఉభే సుకృత దుష్కృతే తస్మాద్యోగాయ యుజ్యస్వ తస్మాద్యోగాయ యుజ్యస్వ యోగకర్మసు కౌశలం యోగకర్మసు కౌశలం. బుద్ధియుక్తో జహాతీహ ఉభే సుకృత దుష్కృతే తస్మాద్యోగాయ యుజ్యస్వ యోగకర్మసు కౌశలం. కర్మజం బుద్ధియుక్తాహి కర్మజం బుద్ధియుక్తాహి ఫలం త్యక్త్వా మనీషిణః ఫలం త్యక్త్వా మనీషిణః జన్మ బంధ వినిర్ముక్తాః జన్మ బంధ వినిర్ముక్తాః పదం గచ్చంత్యనామయం పదం గచ్చంత్యనామయం. కర్మజం బుద్ధియుక్తాహి ఫలం త్యక్త్వా మనీషిణః జన్మ బంధ వినిర్ముక్తాః పదం గచ్చంత్యనామయం. యదా తే మోహకలిలం యదా తే మోహకలిలం బుద్ధిర్వ్యతితరిష్యతి తదా గంతాసి నిర్వేదం గంతాసి నిర్వేదం శ్రోతవ్యస్య శ్రుతస్య చ శ్రోతవ్యస్య శ్రుతస్య చ. యదా తే మోహకలిలం బుద్ధిర్వ్యతితరిష్యతి తదా గంతాసి నిర్వేదం శ్రోతవ్యస్య శ్రుతస్య చ. శ్రుతి విప్రతిపం నాతే శ్రుతి విప్రతిపం నాతే యదా సాస్యతి నిశ్చలా యదా సాస్యతి నిశ్చలా సమాధావచలా బుద్ధిః సమాధావచలా బుద్ధిః తదా యోగమవాప్స్యసి యోగమవాప్స్యసి. శ్రుతి విప్రతిపన్నాతే యదా సాస్యతి నిశ్చలా సమాధావచలా బుద్ధిః తదా యోగమవాప్స్యసి. Last week we saw verse number 48 and 49 of chapter 2. In verse 48, he gives the definition of yoga as yoga karma. Samatvam yoga muchyate. Yoga is balance of mind, tranquility of mind. Steadfast in yoga, perform actions or dhananjaya, renouncing attachment and being the same in success and failure. That evenness is called yoga. So what is yoga? Yoga is evenness of the mind, being the same in both success and failure, not having any prejudice, not quoting what you like and avoid what you dislike, not running after success, not running away from failure, and being balanced in both success and failure. Meaning, while you are acting, if your focus has not shifted to the future, the result, which is success or failure, your focus is very much in the present, and your mind is tranquil, that is yoga. In 50, which we will see today, he says, yoga karmasu kaushalam. Skill in action is yoga. So what is yoga? Yoga is, your mind should be tranquil while your body is engaged in action. A lot of people, in the name of spirituality, keep their body in action, but mind is constantly running after the world. This is not spirituality. This is not yoga. Yoga means, while your body is engaged in action, your mind should be at rest. And in 49, he said, far inferior to yoga of knowledge is action, O Dhananjaya. Durena hevaram karma buddhi yoga Dhananjaya. So compared to karma yoga, buddhi yoga, karma is far inferior. Your buddhi is capable of turning within, helping your mind to turn within and take it towards the Atman within. But the buddhi is today put into use in petty issues, if at all anybody is putting buddhi into use. They put the buddhi into use to get the worldly things, as if the worldly objects and beings give us the joy, and it can, as if it can give us permanent joy. So buddhi should be used in yoga, not in boga. Meaning, far inferior to yoga of knowledge is action. When a person engages his body, using his intellect, just to gain worldly ends, he doesn't know, he is in fact using the intellect which is capable of taking him into the infinite, he is putting that into finite areas. He is wasting his energy. So seek refuge in knowledge, the self. Wretched are they whose motive is fruit. In other words, your intellect should keep your mind in the present. That's the highest. Not running after the fruit, how to get the fruit, and you know, constantly running after the fruit. Let's chant verse number 15. Buddhi yukto jahatiha, buddhi yukto jahatiha, ube sukrute duskrute, ube sukrute duskrute, tasmad yogaya yujyasva, tasmad yogaya yujyasva, yoga karma su kaushalam, kaushalam, buddhi yukto jahatiha, ube sukrute duskrute, tasmad yogaya yujyasva, yoga karma su kaushalam. United to knowledge, one sheds here both good and bad deeds. Therefore, devote yourself to yoga. Skill in action is yoga. See, every human being has a choice of action. You have a choice of action to go after your likes and dislikes and gratify your senses, or to turn towards the self within and attain the infinite potential that lies within. A human being has the capacity to understand that life is not just meandering in the petty senses. It is much beyond that. Senses can gratify us for a while, but that is not where the real peace or happiness is. And therefore, one should slowly graduate to move towards the self within and reach that infinite potential. So he says, be united to knowledge. Be united to knowledge means always choose to get back to the infinite potential, the self, rather than just keeping sense gratification as an end all and be all of life. So united to knowledge does not mean he will not contact the sense world. But when he contacts the sense world, it is not the end all and be all of life. That's what we need to understand by the term united to knowledge. Like united to knowledge, a lot of people think, oh, then they should hate the sense world. Hating the sense world is giving importance to the sense world. It is not just running after the sense world is giving importance to the sense world. Even hating the sense world is giving importance, as though it is something that you should, you are hating now. There is nothing to hate or run after. It is just a small facet of your life. So he says, buddhi yuktha jahatiha, ube sukrita dushkrite. You must always have your buddhi united with knowledge. You're supposed to be identified with the Atman within and not run after your fulfillment of your immediate desires. Now, when you keep a balanced approach, then you shed both good and bad deeds. When you run after good desires, you develop what is called as good vasanas. When you run after bad desires, you develop what is called as bad vasanas. Bad meaning selfish, good meaning unselfish or selfless. So when you run after the good desires, for example, you wanted to help a village, something like that. Somebody who is suffering, you want to relieve them from their pain using your knowledge of medicine or whatever. But it is desire prompted, let us say. If that action is desire prompted, then desire prompted will only further breed more desires. God plus desires equals human being. Human being minus desires equals God. So by identifying with good desires and functioning with good desires, you develop more good desires. By identifying with selfish desires, you develop more selfish desires. Whether it is selfish desires or good desires, it is going to be coming in between you and the infinite potential within. Therefore, he says, you should neither turn towards the good or towards the bad. You should always be identified with Atma within. If you remember, last week we said, there is something called as success, there is something called as failure, and there is something called as actor who does the action which he thinks will give him success or which he thinks it will give him failure. So therefore there are three things. One is the pairs of opposites and the other is the Atma within. So a lot of us are constantly running after success and failure. The mind, when it is running after success and failure, it has lost the vision of the Atma within. Instead of asking whether this action will fetch me success, whether this will help me avoid failure, you should ask, who is it that is bothered about success or failure? The moment you question, who is it, the what is not important, the who is important. Are you with me? What is going to bring me success? What is going to bring me failure? All the time, we are caught up in this pairs of opposites, isn't it? From the time we wake up in the morning till the time we go to bed, our whole search is after attaining pleasure and avoiding pain. Attaining joy, avoiding sorrow. Courting honorable things, avoiding that will bring us dishonor. So in other words, mind is preoccupied with the pairs of opposites. So what he is telling us is, buddhi should be employed in this inquiry as to who is it that is concerned about success and failure. The moment the shift has happened from success and failure, from what to who, then you will be peaceful. That is what the intellect is supposed to do. So he is united with knowledge. What happens when you do like that? When you are united with knowledge, you shed both good and bad deeds. When your mind becomes free from both good and bad deeds, therefore you devote yourself to yoga. Skill in action is yoga. Yoga karmasu kaushalam. Now when we say yoga karmasu kaushalam, we should remember this. Kaushalam means what is good, what is beneficial. But, right? What is beneficial? When I do an action, merely the action produces success. Can it be called as yoga? A thief also strategizes, plans and programs, and you know, puts forth his strategy, he executes it very well, and steals. So can you say, yoga karmasu kaushalam, skill in action is yoga, he is successfully stolen. So can you say that he is practicing yoga? So what is he trying to say here? When you do an action, mere success in the outward sense is not yoga, but that action should eventually dissolve the desire within. So you rise above. That is yoga. So in other words, you are engaging yourself in the action, but the action is not producing vasanas. The chronology of action is, from vasana comes desire. From vasana comes desire. Thought. From thought comes desire. I have a vasana for painting. From the vasana for painting, thought of painting comes. And from the thought of painting, desire for painting comes. And from the desire for painting, action of painting happens. Now when I act while I paint, if my focus is upon I should paint it so beautifully that I should become successful, I should get this name, fame, power, position, money, whatever, then that action will produce further vasanas. So what happens is we are getting caught in the vicious cycle that vasana produces action and action produces vasanas. So when the thief is no doubt using his intellect, but it is all desire-ridden action that he is performing. Therefore, he may be successful, but he is increasing more and more vasanas. Even in a good action, not necessarily like a thief who steals, even in a good action, if you are engaging in good action propelled by vasanas, propelled by desires, not remaining as a witness, but doing it desire-ridden, then what happens is you are increasing your vasanas, you are moving far away from yourself, from the true happiness. Therefore he says yoga karmasu kaushala means you should do the action, and the fact that you are doing the action objectively, you also get the result, in fact you will get the success, and incidentally you will also drop the vasanas. And then it is called the skill in action. And that will happen only when you do the action as a witness. When you don't do the action as a witness, you get involved in your desires, then your mind has desires, your intellect, it brings in the context and says, I am really very interested in gaining this gold, gaining this name. So you tell me how I should function so that I can get this success. This is what is happening in a lot of people's life. They are not, it's not that they are not employing the intelligence in that field. They are. And it's not as though they are not working. But what is the fundamental thing that is happening? They are working, they are using their intellect, they are gaining more and more, and they are becoming more and more successful. On one hand they are gaining more success, but on the other hand they seem to be losing peace. Why? Because their desire is multiplied. It's like nowadays you don't know, you know, when in any country if the inflation is not controlled, you can't determine as to how much would be sufficient for me. Like anybody who works today, let us say for a common man, just a arbitrary example I'm giving, let us say 50,000 or 60,000 for a mediocre kind of a living on a monthly basis if you require to meet your aims and, you know, live happily, decent life. So you say, okay, if I have 1 crore in bank, I should be able to get a normal fixed deposit return of 50,000, 60,000, so I will be able to live peacefully, no problem. But you can't say that. Why? Because by the time you are working and earning 1 crore, the inflation has shot up so much that your expenses can be sometime like 1 lakh or 1.5 lakhs per month. Then you need to put in 3 to 4 crores. So this becomes difficult. So by the time you achieve 1 crore, now the whole bar is shifted to 3 crores. Exactly like that. On one hand a person is working and becoming successful, but on the other hand he is agitated, not peaceful. So what is skill in action? Skill in action means it should fetch you both success and peace, and also remove the vasanas. That is yoga. And that is possible only if you are objectively doing the action without getting involved. So there is desire-ridden action, and within desire-ridden action, good and bad. Good desire-ridden action, bad desire and an action. And the third is objective action. And which in the relative sense, Swamiji says, if you are not able to conceive of the self and all those things, if it is far-fetched for you, from a relative view, have a higher goal. Something beyond your selfish, self-centered interest. Don't do things for merely pleasing your likes and dislikes. Do it for that goal. And once you get established in that goal, keep on escalating the goal. And the goal should finally go to the self only. So a person who is at the moment only working for himself, he says, pitch up a goal and work for your family. Then when you get established in that, then work for your community, your country. Then finally go to the Atma. So which is nothing but remaining a witness and delivering, which fulfills the action and brings you success at the same time. From within your personality, the vasanas are removed. When the vasanas are removed, slowly, slowly, you are getting closer and closer to the Atma within. And that is called as skill in action is yoga. And when you are a witness, you are not expecting anything. When there is zero expectation, your whole focus is upon the action. While I am acting, and if my action happens to be a means for say getting something, then one or my portion of my mind is attached to the result. What I am going to get from it, what I am going to get from it. I hope it will get me this. I hope I will get this. Probably this is what is happening to our Indian team in Australia. You understand? So what is happening? They are losing continuously. If your focus is upon the action, you will be dexterous. Because there is no opposite force in action. That's why in the beginning itself he said, in this there is no contrary result. There is so much of effort put in by the desired end person, but end of the day he feels he's got very little. Isn't it? All these people who work and scheme and plan and do everything, they may get what they were scheming and planning for, but end of the day they feel as if they've got very little. They're not happy. All the time disgruntled, dissatisfied. So therefore, when you act without any expectation, your whole personality is there, and that is dexterous action. You'll be a daksha. Whatever you do, you'll do it skillfully. When you are manufacturing something, if of course if you sell that product, you are going to make profit. The profit element is there. But while you are manufacturing, if it is profit driven action, then what happens is, to that extent, you will not be skillful, your product will not be dexterous. Outcome is going to be there, but you are not engaged in action because you are going to get this outcome or that outcome. You are doing it for the sake of doing it, and that is yoga. So yoga karmasu kaushalam, skill in action is yoga. What is important is not whether an action is helping a larger cause or whether it is selfish. What is important is whether in the action that helps larger cause or my personal interest alone, I should engage in that action as a witness. Sakshi Bhav. I told you in the first chapter itself, one is called as Mitru Bhav, other is called as Shatru Bhav, the third is called as Sakshi Bhav. Yoga is engaging in action with Sakshi Bhav. Bhoga is engaging in the very same action with Mitru Bhav or Shatru Bhav. So throughout the world, people are all running after expecting something, and an expecting person is a beggar. In any relationship, in any contact, all that I am thinking, what I can get, what I can get, what I can get. So to get something from that person, what do? I have to tickle his humor. I have to keep him or her in happy mode. So what do? Whatever pleases them, I do. I put an act in front of them. I pretend in front of them. And whenever you are pretending, you are putting an action, do you feel comfortable or do you feel burdened?
Burdened.
Burdened. Because you are not just being yourself. Are you with me? So you are not doing anything to get anything from anybody. So there is no need for you to tickle the humor of the other person. You are just being yourself. When you are just being yourself, you are peaceful. And a peaceful person produces more, or a disturbed person produces more?
Peaceful.
So that is skill in action. That is yoga. We'll chant verse 51. Karmajam buddhi yuktahi, karmajam buddhi yuktahi, phalam tyaktva manishinaha, phalam tyaktva manishinaha, janma bandhavine muktaha, janma bandhavine muktaha, padam gacchantya namayam, padam gacchantya namayam, karmajam buddhi yuktahi, phalam tyaktva manishinaha, janma bandhavine muktaha, padam gacchantya namayam. The wise united to knowledge. I told you, united to knowledge here means united to the self within. The focus is on the self and not the world, not on the pairs of opposites. United to knowledge does not mean one who is united to the scripture, the book. That is only information. So the wise united to knowledge is renounced with reference to the fruit of action. Renouncing the fruit of action. Renouncing the fruit of action means what? Fruit of action will be there in any action. Like I told you, outcome will be there. Whether the outcome is as per your expectation or not, outcome will be there. But while acting, your mind is not attached to the outcome. That's what renouncing the fruit of action means. Renouncing the fruit of action does not mean when the result comes, I give the result to somebody else. The salary comes, you say, oh, how is it possible? A lot of people, this is what they criticize Gita for. How is it possible to renounce the fruit of action? Don't you require the salary? He's not saying that don't take the salary. While acting, it is not the incentive driven action but inspirational action. Yoga is an inspirational perspiration. Are you with me? Not an incentive perspiration. Either there are people who don't perspire, means don't act, or there are people who perspire keeping the incentive in mind. Yoga is inspirational action. It is not coming from the outcome.
But what I can't understand is that you are doing that action for a particular outcome. Yes, while you are doing the action, you focus on the action and let the results be whatever it is. But when you are doing the, when you are planning to do the action, you are planning to do it with a particular outcome.
Exactly, but that is a part of the action. Planning is part of the action. Planning is not result-oriented mind. You need to differentiate between the two.
Planning,
you say,
for that result.
No, no. You must understand one thing. If I am doing an action of talking on Bhagavad Gita, obviously to make it, understandable to you, you can say that is the result. So I will plan and see who are my students here. If it is Indians, or even if it's Indians, are they professionals or business people or homemakers? What are they? some idea, some planning, so that I can plan the, you know. But basically it should be my inspiration to talk. Are you with me? It should not be something that I am not inspired. But there are so many people are coming and there is incentive, name, fame I can get and this. Therefore I am doing. No. I should have the inspiration. And in the inspirational field, I am taking stock and then putting it. But while I act, while I talk, I am not thinking about the outcome. Would they be appreciating me? Would it be understood by them? I hope they understand. Are you with me? All those things should not be there. So he is not trying to say don't plan. Don't be obsessed with the result is what he is saying. Planning is different from being obsessed. While planning, if I can plan without obsession, that is fine. That is in fact something that you are supposed to do. You've set the direction towards the world or towards the action. This is what I'm inspired to do. I'll do this. And how am I going to execute this action? That is planning. Are you with me? How I am going to execute this action is planning. How many people are required for me to execute this action? How many days? How I am going to go about? This is planning. But while I am executing that action, I am not thinking about hope as we thought this outcome comes, or this thing that, you know, then you are slipping into incentive mode. So therefore he says, be between, in between good and bad.
And also, something can also be that you have to be result oriented.
You have to be result oriented.
If you result oriented in the sense that when you are planning, you plan for a result, but whatever the result is, that should not affect you. You plan for a...
That's after the result has come.
Yes.
That is after the result has come. I am saying even while you act, your mind is not obsessed with the result. And remember one thing, if the mind is obsessed with the result, then what it means is you have a doubt whether you get it or not. And the fact that you have the doubt, you will not get it. Because you will get only what you believe in.
Correct.
There is a huge gap and difference between wish and belief. I can wish for moon, but if I don't believe I can get there, I will not get there. So here he is talking about yoga. In yoga there should be no doubts. If there is doubts, then you are not integrated person. Yoga means integrating, right? There should be no doubts whatsoever with the belief. So therefore you are not even doubting whether success will come. You just do it. It will come. Supposing for whatever reasons, like you say, next step, supposing the result is not according to what it should be, then immediately, what is the next course of action that you are supposed to do? Analyze what went wrong and correct it.
But success does not have to be tangible.
No, that is all okay. I am only trying to say whether it is something that has happened, is what should have happened or not, that should not affect you. Outcome should not have an effect on you. That is independently true. You learn to accept both success and failure. But I am talking, the verse is talking about while acting, not after the outcome has come. So, the wise united to knowledge, renouncing the fruit of action. Renouncing the fruit of action means the mind is not attached to the result. The mind is engaged in the present action only. Mind is in the present, not in the future. Liberated from the bond of birth. Bond of birth. What is the bondage in birth?
Karma.
What is binding you to birth?
Karma.
Your vasanas. Your karma. Your vasanas. You are born in this classroom because you have vasanas to study Bhagavad Gita. Next, after we complete this class, whatever vasanas you have, accordingly you will be born in the next environment. If it is to go to the market, you will be in the market. If it is to go to your home, you will be there. If it is to go to a discotheque, you will be there. Depends on your vasanas, you are born. What takes you from one birth to another is your vasanas. Are you with me? So why am I born? I am born according to my vasanas. I am pushed into the environment, and the body that I have is also according to my karma and vasanas. If you are born as a woman in India, it is because of vasanas. And in an opulent family or rich or a poor family, according to your vasanas, the whole thing is determined by your karma. So the bond of vasana, the bond of birth, the vasana, the karma is removed. That's what he means by liberated from the bond of birth. So to liberate oneself from the bond of birth, there is something that one should do. That is action. One cannot escape action. Just because I want to get moksha, I don't have to stop my action. In fact, stopping action is not going to get me moksha. It is engaging into in the action. That's why I told you, there is one category of people who run after the world. Other category of people who run away from the world. They are not renunciates. They are thinking that they are renunciate. They are running after, they are running away from the world. I say, oh, this is very bad. Oh, he is such a good person. He doesn't touch this. She doesn't touch this. He is a renunciate. He has given up everything. He has given up everything, but he has a hatred towards the world. As if world is something bad. World is something negative. Therefore, he is running away from the world. He has given up everything. So many things he has given up. That is not renunciation. Renunciation is not running away. There are people who run away, there are people who run after. But what is renunciation? Renunciation is moving into the world, contacting the world consciously. CWC. Contact world consciously. That is renunciation. Okay. So when you contact the world consciously, that is renunciation. So when you do that, then you break the bond of birth, the karma, the vasanas. Indeed, such a person reached the state beyond evil. State beyond evil. Evil, what is the real evil in the society? There is only one evil, that is ignorance. Vasanas. Because of ignorance, anybody is doing what they are doing. If he had that knowledge that he is Atma, he will not be doing. If you know that you are rich, would you be begging? You know, a rich businessman, let us say, lost his son when the son was a small child. He had some birthmark, so he had told his people that a guy with this birthmark is my son. But he died. He had left behind so much of wealth for him. And this fellow grew up and he goes to the bank manager asking for a loan to start a small business. And the bank manager sees the mark and he knows that this guy is the actual son of that businessman who has left behind the fortune. So, hey Baba, you are coming and asking loan from me. In fact, I will send my people to you to request you to invest in my bank. What are you talking? Please don't talk to me like that. Don't tease me. I have come to ask for loan. Arey Baba, you are a multi-millionaire. You can give us loans. If you understand, if you have the knowledge of your true self, you will not be begging at the shore of body, mind and intellect. Little more for the tongue. Little more for the eyes. A little more for the nose and skin and, you know, all that. So what is happening? Why is anybody behaving like a bichara? Why? Why are you begging? Why are you remaining as a beggar? Lack of self-knowledge. So he will reach the state that is beyond evil. Beyond evil means thereafter he cannot expect anything. He will be reaching a state where there are no expectations whatsoever. You do everything a murderer is doing it, if you go deeply, why? Why is anybody committing any sin, any evil? Self-knowledge is not that. Negative only breeds, can be only developed in a dark room. Remember that example. The film role called as negative is developed always in the dark room, never in the light. When it is exposed to the light, it cannot be developed. Similarly, when you have kindled and increased your awareness within, thereafter there is no way you can consciously do any negative action. So he has reached the stage of self-realization, having attained that awareness state, thereafter evil leaves him. It is not as though there is something called as evil. Reasoning. The real only evil is ignorance of the self. So you reach the state which is beyond the ignorance, you gain the knowledge. So therefore, what liberates you is action. But action underlined by witness, not underlined by desires. So Vedanta will not take you away from action. Remember this. Vedanta will only take you away from desire-ridden action. From incentive action, it takes you to inspirational action. You will act, but not to seek, but to give. That's the difference. So the wise united to knowledge. So how can I become wise? How can I get united to knowledge? I need to put in the sadhana every day. I have to do hatha yoga, karma yoga, bhakti yoga, jnana yoga, inquire, discuss. Slowly when I improve, thus through sadhana, my awareness is going on increasing. Slowly I will shift from incentive to inspirational. Knowledge has to be assimilated, internalized. Only then can I move to that. Only then can I become wise. In fact, how can you get liberated is only through knowledge of the self. That is why they give importance to the self-knowledge. You can gain the knowledge of the world, knowledge about your personality, gain the knowledge of the world, engage yourself and go on gaining more and more of the world, add it to your bank balance, yet you will continue to be agitated. Therefore, along with that secular knowledge, life's lessons also to be learned. That you are not this body, you are not this mind, you are not this intellect, you are the Atman. Who is it that claims to be claims in the waking state after he has come from the deep sleep state that he had a nice sleep? Who is it? You need to inquire. Who is it that claims to have had a nice dream when he has woken up and come to the waking state? Who is it? So Atma, that through reflection, through study and reflection, through contemplation, slowly you separate the Atma from the Anatma. And you engage in action with, as a witness. When being with Atma, united to knowledge, you should act. That is Buddhi Yoga. If you are united to the self and act, that is Buddhi Yoga. If you are united to the result and act, it is karma. That's all. Beach may, you are there. Mind. Now, whether are you focused on the result, are you focused on the Atma? That makes it karma or karma yoga.
So, what is when you unite to self and act, it is
karma yoga. If you unite with the results and act, it is karma. You produce karma. You produce more results, more vasanas. The more vasanas, more birth. So it is not the action that produces vasanas. It is the bigger, desired action that produces vasanas. It is the result-oriented action that produces vasanas. Verse 52. Yada te moha kalilam, yada te moha kalilam, buddhivyatitarishyati, tada gantasi nirvedam, shrotavyasya shutasya cha, yada te moha kalilam, buddhivyatitarishyati, tada gantasi nirvedam, shrotavyasya shutasya cha. When your buddhi, intellect, will cross the mire of delusion, then you will grow indifferent to what has been heard and what is yet to be heard. Pardon?
A very tall order.
When your intellect will cross the mire of delusion, moha. What is the moha? Moha means lack of clarity, lack of discrimination, lack of awareness, not really knowing what I want. Isn't it? Today you think this is what I want, but tomorrow you say, Baba, please do something to get rid of this. You want to marry the person, put in all the efforts possible, quote her or him, get married. Then you say, I will pay much more, please get rid of her from my life. To go to a lawyer. And so whatever you do, please make sure that you get us the divorce as quickly as possible. So you thought this is what I want, but there is much more than what you are thinking that you want. So what exactly do you want? You don't have the clarity, you are deluded. When a person is in dark room, the light is not there. What happens is, he is not able to see. He is in pitch darkness, he can't see anything. And he doesn't know which side to go. If he takes one step, he can fall down. Or that's the way to move. He doesn't know which way to move. And without clarity, he moves about, isn't it? He can't remain without moving in darkness forever. That will disturb him also. So he can't either be in darkness, nor is he comfortable moving around. So when he moves around out of no clarity, he is going to bang himself against many things in life. Isn't that what we are doing? So when your intellect will cross the mire of delusion, means what? If there is some sheet in front of the light and it's not allowing the light to throw around, then what happens is you are in pitch darkness. Similarly, the desires for the worldly objects and beings are covering the Atma, the awareness. Therefore, we do not know any clarity in life which way to go. So what are we doing? We are thinking, this is the way to go. What? Add more and more. Add more and more. So what has been heard means, I went to the school. They taught me how to earn money. Why are you going to MBA? I hear about the methodologies through which I can earn more wealth. Because I am confused, therefore I am thinking that wealth will give me happiness. So today I am thinking I am unhappy. Why am I unhappy? I am looking around. Oh, I am all alone, I am not married, that is why I am unhappy. So what do I do? I hear from people how to go about to get married. So, methodologies. Textbooks provide you all these things, right? Whatever textbook is in there, even including Vedas. I hear about fulfilling my desires. That is what he means by saying what has been heard. All the experiences through which I am trying to gain. Hearing is not just hearing. Hearing includes all experiences also. What I have not experienced, what has not been heard, what I have not studied, what methods I don't know, then I will become indifferent. Thereafter I do not want to be spending time in all these things, because now I have got the clarity that happiness is not in these things. Happiness is my original nature. Then I will become indifferent. Yes or no? Jab tak I have not got this understanding that happiness is not in the outside world, it is within me, I am going to be searching for it. A lady, a very very poor old lady, was stitching her old torn clothes. And as she was stitching, suddenly she lost the needle. She was stitching, sitting at home. And it was in the evening time. After she lost, it has become dark also, and she didn't have light at home. So she was searching for the needle on the road, because there is light there. Few people came to help her. What are you doing? I am searching for the needle. So they also started searching along with her to help her, thinking that they can help the poor old lady in finding the lost needle. One fellow came and said, what are you doing? I am searching for the needle. These people are trying to help me also. He did not immediately jump into searching. He said, where did you lose it? She said, at home. Okay. So when will you lose? You know, what is happening is, when the intellect will cross the mire of delusion. When will the intellect cross the mire of delusion? When you stop and inquire. But nobody has time to stop and inquire. What is it that we are here in this world doing? Everybody is asking only for happiness, isn't it? What do I want? Why somebody is getting into marriage? Happiness. Why somebody does not want to get married? Happiness. So, one person thinks happiness is in marriage. One person thinks happiness is not in marriage. We are not getting into who is right, who is wrong. But at the end of the day, what is the main thing that they are searching for? Happiness. But is there anybody who asks, where is this happiness? Because I find married people also unhappy. I find bachelors are also unhappy. So, where is this? Are you with me? If I am searching for a Bhagavad Gita class, somebody said it's happening in this Prithviraj Road, go there. Then I have the address and I go there. No, I don't want any address. I don't have time to sit and read the address at all. I have to run so that I can start without losing some time and reach there. Are, do you have the residential address of happiness? No. So he says, yada te moha kalilam buddhir yatita rishyate. When your intellect will cross the mire of delusion, only then, so when this, when and then comes, when this condition is fulfilled, only then the other thing will start coming into effect. Only then you will get vairagya. Till then you will not get vairagya. Because lot of the vairagya is not, what do you call that? Hating the world. I don't want to see movies. Oh, what a great vairagya. That is not vairagya. But it is misunderstood as vairagya. Vairagi is one whose mind is not affected by what he contacts. Or what he does not contact. You know, there were two sannyasis who went from their ashram to the nearby market, neighboring market, to fetch something for the ashram. Daily vegetables or whatever. One was the old sannyasi, another one was a young one. On their way back, they saw one young woman, married lady, young lady, walking with a lot of luggage, struggling to walk. So this young sannyasi offered to carry her and drop her in her house. He did that. All along, the elderly sannyasi was highly agitated. So after he dropped her and started walking with the old one, the old sannyasi said, I'm going to report this to the guru, because we are sannyasis, you're not supposed to touch the woman, you carried her on your shoulders. He says, I carried her and I dropped her, I'm not denying it, but you're still carrying her on your mind. So renunciation is, whatever you contact or whatever you do not contact should not have any effect in your mind. That is renunciation. That is indifference. That is vaidagya, truly speaking. Your mind is absolutely not at all preoccupied. When you are running away from it, that means that is preoccupied. You are giving, in fact, that is more powerful. Because I am afraid, I am scared. Maybe if I come in front of money, then I will be exposed. So what am I supposed to do? I should make sure that I don't have money around me. And I am not a vairagi. Vairagi is, see, in other words, if, you know, when you are given this polio injections and all that, thereafter the virus has no capacity to affect you. That's what it means. When you have got that immunity, thereafter you are free to go anywhere, because the virus has no capacity to affect you, isn't it? Similarly, the world has no effect upon you. It's not that I run away, I'm scared, oh, I don't touch this, I don't take away these things away from me, I'm a sannyasi, don't you know? Then that fellow is not yet become vairagi. He still has value for the world. He still believes that outside world may happiness hai. He is not having this understanding that happiness vaha nahi, andar hai. That's what he's saying here. Yadate moha kalilam. And out of moha, what are we doing? We are thinking, when these things become mine, then I will be happy. In fact, a lot of people, there are a few reasons why people get married. And one of the reasons is possessiveness. Possessiveness. I like somebody, but I am not possessing it now. I am not possessing that person. So once I get married, then I can say I possess that person. That possessiveness is also one of the reasons at the psychological level. So, mine. I want to make everything mine, mine, mine. That is delusion. You know, one fellow was crying because his house was on fire. He's weeping and wailing, and the fire brigade came, they tried to quench the fire, nothing was happening, the house is almost burnt. He's crying and he called his son. And son said, why are you crying? Don't you remember we sold it to somebody last week? Automatically the tears stopped. Okay. Then, by the time the son came, the agent called and said, there were some mistakes in the document. So whatever you signed is not legal. So it is as good as the deal had not been done. So again tears started. So this mine and not mine is the delusion. It is not just the mine. Not mine is also delusion. The very mindness is the delusion. Are you with me? So it is being free from the mindness. So therefore he says, when your intellect will become free, when will it become free? When you ask this question, who is it that is trying to make it mine? Who is it that is claiming that this is not mine? Who is that? That nature of that I is happiness. When you understand that, first, you understand that happiness is not in the outside world, it is within. when your intellect will cross the mire of delusion, when you develop the clarity, then you become indifferent. When you become indifferent, thereafter the world becomes incapacitated to affect you. World loses its, you know, somebody went to Swami Vivekananda after he gave that lecture in Chicago. He started off by saying, my dear sisters and brothers of America, and gave a few, you know, very interesting lecture, and everybody appreciated it. And after the lecture, one lady walked up to him, it seems, young woman. She said, you are such an intelligent and wise person. I am a good looking woman, so let's get married, so that the child, son born to us, will be beautiful as well as intelligent. So he said, firstly, why do we have to wait for so long? We get married and then the son born, when he grows up, then we find out that he is not only good looking but intelligent. Then by the time we both of us may not be alive. Instead of that, if you are ready, I am ready to be your son right now. That is vairagya. Not getting tempted at all, because there is nothing that can tempt him. Not running away. Are you with me? Running away is not vairagya. That is not indifference. So what are you supposed to do? You have to insulate yourself with more of knowledge and inquiry. Intensify your tapas, intensify your sadhana. The more you digest, the more indifferent you become. When you go on, you know, supposing somebody is holding a pot and niche say somebody is somebody has lit the gas stove from below and is holding the pot. So the pot is slowly becoming hot. And when the hand starts feeling the heat, what will it do? Automatically drop it. So when you are heated up by the fire of knowledge, when you have digested the knowledge, slowly all these things will drop. So therefore your focus should be in gaining this knowledge, in trying to assimilate, trying to stop and think and proceed. Reflect. Manan karna chahiye. So when your intellect will cross the mire of delusion, then you will grow indifferent to what has been heard and what is yet to be heard. What has been heard and what is yet to be heard means all that you have heard, that do this and you will get that and there is happiness in that. Do this and there are certain things that you have not heard also. Oh, so you think, oh, you know what happens is, in other words, supposing you thought there is no happiness in the world and you want to ashram, to enroll yourself in ashram. Somebody comes and promises you, Arey, did you went to all the places, but did you go to Europe? I thought happiness is there. Oh, I tried finding happiness in America, I tried finding in the Far East and Middle East, but I never went to the Europe side. So you quickly leave the ashram and go. Because what is yet to be heard can also take you away from the path. You are not determined. The determined pursuit is, I've got the clarity, vahan nahi hai. Like Nachiketas, the young boy who went to Yama, you know, Lord Yama. Lord Yama tried to tempt him. He said, take this. Because Nachiketas from this side, when Yama said, take all these horses, means wealth. He turned this side, disgusted. Because he asked, give me Atmavidya. Lord Yama wanted to test him. So he said, take all these horses. Yeah, you're such a young boy, why do you want to ask for Atmavidya? Time there, bahut time hai. You know. So he got disgusted and turned this side, and lots of dancers, women. Oh, you want, take them also. He turned towards Yama and said, don't waste my time. You give me Atma Vidya, if you know and you want to give, you can give, give. Otherwise, don't waste my time. Means there is nothing. So there are two things that we have to do. One is the sadhana of gaining the knowledge. And the other thing is, whatever we contact as a grahastha, that I am dharmically contacting, I should contact consciously. Then I will know, this may be here. When I am eating the food, if I am talking on the phone and I am eating, I have contacted the food, but I am not convinced from within whether happiness is there in it or not. I don't know. And my desires go on craving more and more. So I think it is there, some kind of delusion I am running in. So one is do tapasya, do gain the knowledge. And to gain the knowledge, Hatha Yoga will be helpful, Karma Yoga will be helpful, all that. But while I contact, whatever I contact, let me keep myself awake, consciously contact, so that I have gone through this, aha nahi hai. Supposing you are searching for something very expensive in your room, and you have thoroughly searched the room. Then even after that somebody comes and says, oh, in that corner did you see that? I have seen everything here, it's not there. The problem is we don't see it fully. So what happens? Somebody can come and confuse us. So when will the moha go? When you do your sadhana and you contact the world consciously, not say there is nothing in the world, go on repeating like that. Like fools, all of us are repeating, you know. Oh, it is not there in this. Who told you it is there in this or not? You find out. Let them say. Probably they found out and they are saying. Their statement may be true, but it's not going to help you. It is not whether the statement is true or false that matters. Whether have you been truthful to yourself? That is why we say experiential knowledge. Gain the knowledge, and with that awareness, now I am contacting the foot. What am I looking for in this? Is it there? And be consciously doing it. Conscious, not, you know, awareness. With awareness, you fully move in and contact. Don't you see? Oh. Nothing. I think it has vitamins and minerals and taste and that which will, you know, help my palate and my body. That is fine. But happiness? Are you with me? Then I know it is not there. Then my seeking, my turning towards the self will be growth. Otherwise, I am just repeating. One more verse we'll do. Shruti vipratipannate, Shruti vipratipannate, yadasasyati nishchala, samadhavachala buddhihi, tadayogamavapsyasi, Shruti vipratipannate, yadasasyati nishchala, samadhavachala buddhihi, tadayogamavapsyasi. When your intellect perplexed by what has been heard shall stand immovable and steady in meditation, then you will attain yoga. When your intellect has become very clear that even what the Vedas teach, Shruti means Vedas. Vedas are also talking about various means only, no? If you want to have a child, Brahmin bhai, Kshatriya bhai, whatever boy, girl, whatever it is, ye karma karo, ye ritual karo, ye mantra jap karo. You understand? So many things like that. So many means and ends are being provided. So people are confused. So they are constantly going on fulfilling this means and that means and this and that. So he says, when your intellect crosses over, perplexed by what has been heard, all the experiences, it shall stand immovable. Stand immovable means it cannot be shaken thereafter. You are so determined. It's full of knowledge of the self. See, when you put so much of water in the bottle, fully, up to the brim, and close it, and shake, will there be any movement of the water? Why? So when will your intellect be immovable? Now the intellect, morning, no alcohol. Evening 6 o'clock, I don't know. 9 o'clock you are already there. Why? In the morning, what you say, in the evening you are not able to follow. All the New Year's resolution, even before January ends, it's all done. And many cases, the very first day only, one day, next day, things will start. Why? Are you with me? So he's saying, no. When it stands perplexed and stands immovable, then it will be steady samadhi. It will be steady in samadhi. Achala buddhi. Then it will become steady, means it will be observing anything, everything as a witness and not get involved. Single pointedly the focus will be on the self. And that person will get established in samadhi. That person will attain yoga. So what are you supposed to do? You are supposed to make your intellect become very clear that it is not there. Uska kya karna? Scriptures and Guru give you knowledge. So reflect on those knowledge. Having reflected, you have still not yet got that totally immovable conditioned intellect. Therefore, what are you supposed to do? Get in the world, in the field. Because you are not comfortable all the time gaining knowledge. Desires are there. You have to contact the world also. So, thoda knowledge, leke, reflect karke, fir, because it's not fully become immovable, you engage yourself in the desire in the world, but while you are contacting the world, do it consciously. Then what happens with knowledge and experience, with knowledge and experience, with knowledge and experience, slowly, slowly you get in Vedanta Treatise book, Swamiji says it's like the process of making curd. What do you do? Thoda jamun you add to lukewarm milk. And then you leave it overnight. The next day morning it forms curd, becomes, the curd is solid, you know. So like that, little knowledge, reflect, digest and experience consciously. Thus that will help you to reflect more. Then slowly, slowly what will happen is, by the time you realize you've gained that vairagya. That's why in the beginning brahmacharya ashram may knowledge is given. Then just because you got the knowledge, not necessary that your desires are all gone. So you continue reflecting. At the same time you cannot postpone, therefore you go into grihastha ashrama, consciously experience the desires. Then in a dharmic field. Then slowly what happens is you gain vairagya, move into vanaprastha and then to sannyas, where you can totally dedicate yourself for the self inquiry and realization. Your mind is not moving helter skelter. Your determination is not shaken. Your determination is permanent. Otherwise temporarily you will do, but you are not fully convinced. So he says, when your intellect stands perplexed by the Shruti, what has been heard, thereafter it is not getting into Vedas or anything. Only interest is in getting to Vedanta, meaning the Atma, the Self, nothing else. Thereafter it is not going to try this method or that method. I am not interested in any other methods, please. So, then you will attain yoga. So how to attain yoga, he has mentioned. Now, Arjuna will start asking a question with which the Sita Prajna portion starts. Arjuna after this is going to put up a question to Lord Krishna, wherein he asks Krishna to define the character of a perfect human being, one whose intellect is steady. Because Krishna spoke about intellect becoming steady. Why our intellect is not steady today? You know, when we are studying the Gita, a lot of people say, sir, when I study the Gita, I am very convinced. But after some time, because mind has been constantly taken to the world, no? That movement, that is more powerful. So what are you supposed to do? You continue this discipline, and with this discipline you don't prejudice yourself that there is no happiness in the world or there is happiness in the world. Without prejudice, why you contacted consciously as a witness, then you will see it is there or not. The knowledge will be seen in the applied field. Then this applied knowledge will take you to vairagya. Otherwise it will not. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.